invitation to receive the message this morning. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we take up the first reading in the New Testament, and then we'll turn to Proverbs chapter 1. But firstly, 1 Corinthians 1. And we'll take up the reading in verse 18. Where it says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For the Jews demand signs and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." So far, the New Testament reading. Please turn with me now to the book of Proverbs, and we'll take up the reading in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 1. It's entitled, The Beginning of Knowledge. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head, and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot amongst us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets she cries out. At the entrance of the gates, city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? You turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called, and you have refused to listen. Have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded. because you've ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. The simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. So far the reading of God's word.
Thank you, Bruno. The title of the sermon this morning is The Beginning of Wisdom, and is a sermon prepared by the Reverend David Waldron. And he starts off with a rather unusual question. What would you like to have engraved on your tombstone? I told you I was sick. Or perhaps, I knew this would happen. There is an epitaph that I think we'd all desire. Here lies the body of a person whose life was well lived. But that raises the question, what does it look like to live a well-lived life? And this question is answered by the wisdom literature of the Bible, which we find concentrated in three Old Testament books, Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes. And the New Testament letter of James can also be placed in this category of wisdom literature. It's quite possible, and even likely, that you've never heard a sermon series through the book of Proverbs. Some of the reasons why this section of the Bible is seldom preached in a systematic way are because after chapter 9, the remainder of this book of Proverbs is a conglomeration of different maxims, mottos, and memorable sayings with little or no clear sustaining structure or flow. And secondly, some of the Hebrew in which this book was originally written is difficult to interpret, which accounts for some of the wide variations in translations between different Bible versions. And finally, it is a particularly challenging book to consistently preach Christ from and to identify the gospel which flows out of these divinely inspired words. Yet our desire as God's people is to hear the whole counsel and will, as it says in Acts 20 verse 27. We don't want to miss out on the treasures which have been laid down for our enrichment in this book. The approach, Lord willing, over the next months or so, is to work through the first 9 chapters of this book in sequence, but also to branch off to consider a number of key topics covered as related concepts as they arise from these first 9 chapters. And this will enable us to cover some, but by no means all, of the areas of wisdom in the book, including matters relating to health, money and wealth, family life including marriage, friendship, work, sexual immorality, and anger. Even a brief look at this book reveals that it is all about wisdom. In fact, the purpose of the whole collection of Proverbs is clearly laid out in the first few verses, from verse 2 to 6, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, And the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Notice the different words that build up to the meaning of this wisdom which may be learnt. Words like insight, prudence, discretion. Notice also that wisdom is not only for the young, but also for those who are already wise. In fact, the wise person is characterized by being a continuous learner. In Proverbs 18, verse 15, it says, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Our goal in this preaching series in the book of Proverbs is certainly to acquire knowledge. But more than that, it is to love Christ more. For as we read from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, for he is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So let us begin. Our first point, wise teachers instruct the wise. The first person we meet in the book of Proverbs is Solomon. His name is right there in the first verse, which is very much a title for the whole book. Solomon, a son of David, the king who inherited a large kingdom and who accumulated enormous wealth during his 40 years of reign over Israel from around 970 BC. That's almost 3,000 years ago. Solomon was the man who pleased the Lord his God by asking for an understanding mind. It was the Lord God who gifted this man with a wise and discerning mind, unlike any descendant of Adam has had before or since. We read in 1 Kings 4:29 that God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was known throughout the whole world at the time, and people from all nations came to hear the words of this wise man. Not only did Solomon speak wise words, he also wrote them down. In this book of Proverbs, we see that he is likely the direct author of much of the collected material, but not all. We can see this clearly if we briefly review the different sections of the book, which can be divided into seven parts. The title, the purpose, and the foundational principle is contained in the first nine chapters, which of course is part of our focus today. And then there's a second collection of Solomon, the Proverbs of Solomon. This is quite a large section. Then there's a collection three, which is 30 sayings of the wise. Collection four is more sayings of the wise. Collection five, more Proverbs of Solomon. But then we come to section six, the sayings of Agar, the son of J.K. And section seven, the sayings of Lemuel. The sayings of the unnamed wise are included, together with the wisdom of Agar and Lemuel. Unlike Solomon, who we know and are familiar with, the identities of Agar and Lemuel are not known. There are indications that Agar was a Ishmaelite, and we know that King Lemuel, who was taught wisdom by his mother, was not an Israelite king. A legitimate question then could be, of what particular value is this book of Proverbs to us today, thousands of years after they are written, in part by people we know hardly anything about? You might also wonder whether the wisdom of Solomon, whose life is recorded in some detail in the first 11 chapters of 1 Kings, is really so helpful. We know that while this king achieved so much, he was a man who was not wholly true to the Lord his God when his non-Israelite wives turned his heart after other gods. And we also know that Solomon's son Rehoboam was not a wise man. He abandoned the wise counsel that the old men gave him, resulting in the division of the kingdom of Israel, a rift from which the nation would never fully recover. If Solomon's wisdom was not compelling enough to convince his own son of the value of his words, how much can they help us? If these proverbs were merely of human origin, they might be of some value, but they would not be the wisdom of a perfect mind. And why is that? Well, because our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, rejected the wise counsel of their Maker. The result was distortion, damage, and downgrading of their ability to think rightly about themselves, about others, and about the world around them. In the words of Romans 1, verse 21 and 22, Adam and Eve and all their descendants naturally became futile in their thinking. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Truth is that this book, while being authored humanly speaking by Solomon, Agur, Lemuel, and possibly others, is the work of a single divine author, God Himself. The book of Proverbs is part of His inspired word, the Bible. True wisdom is the very mind of God. God is a thinker, and what He thinks is pure wisdom. Some of His thoughts are contained in this book. God is also a doer, and what He does demonstrates His wisdom in action. And God is also a speaker, and what He speaks reveals His perfect wisdom. Ultimately, then, it is God Himself who is the wise teacher in the book of Proverbs. He is the one who instructs those wise enough to seek knowledge. The mind of God is the only source of all true wisdom, a truth which is expressed in the very first proverb in this book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Here, the beginning is not so much the starting point, which is left behind as progress is made, but rather the foundational controlling principle of all true wisdom. Because this is the root of all wisdom, it is not surprising that we found this same truth expressed elsewhere in the Bible, in the wisdom literature. For example, in Job 28:28, it says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." And in Ecclesiastes 12:13, "The end of the matter, all has been heard, fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man." We must be careful to understand the word fear correctly. This is not terror and dread that comes from those who turn away from God. Remember fallen Adam and Eve hiding for fear from God among the trees of the garden? No, this fear is willing, submissive reverence toward God, as shown by Abraham when he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. Remember, after he had demonstrated faith, hope, and love for God, the angel of the Lord said to him, Genesis 22:12, "Now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your own son, your only son, from me." Wisdom, then, is not the mere accumulation of knowledge. Wisdom is not the development of abstract intellectual understanding. Wisdom is insight and discretion gained by being in willing submission to the Lord, the covenant God, who first revealed His name as Yahweh, I Am, to Moses. So the first part of the first proverb, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," teaches us that while wisdom is the right way of thinking about God and the world that He has made and the people who inhabit this world, including ourselves and our family and our friends, it is fundamentally and foundationally having the right relationship with God, a relationship characterized by faith, hope, and love. The wise person, then, is not someone who necessarily possesses great intellect or has accumulated vast stores of knowledge, or who is known for maxims and mottos and memorable sayings, but rather a wise person is someone who fears the Lord, who willingly, trustingly, and in hope submits to the loving will and purpose of the Father, with whom that wise person has a living relationship. This first proverb then is the first of many contrasts in this book, which brings us to our second point. Fools and their companions reject wisdom. Have you ever written an essay, perhaps in your final years at high school or college or at university? Often essay questions are phrased compare and contrast. Being able to accurately describe the differences between two groups of information demonstrates understanding. The basic meaning of the Hebrew word translated proverb, masal, is a comparison. And we see in this book of Proverbs many contrasts between the wise and foolish, between the righteous and the wicked, between life and death. For example, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Here we meet one of the many types of people described in the book of Proverbs, the fool. Have you ever met anyone who could be described as a know-it-all? Whatever subject or topic is raised, this person knows all about it. They are generally keen to teach others, but not to learn themselves. In their mind, wisdom only flows in one direction, outward from them. Such a person demonstrates folly. The fool is unteachable, hating knowledge, rejecting counsel, and despising reproof or correction. The fool is a person whose root problem is not mental, but spiritual. The fool rejects God. In the words of Proverbs 1:29, the fool does not choose the fear of the Lord. The fool likes his folly, and he keeps going back to it like a dog returning to his vomit. It's not a pretty picture, is it? But it describes some of the behavior of people like you and me, more accurately than we care to admit, either to ourselves or to others. Fools reject wisdom. We also meet some companions of fools, sinners, here in chapter 1. They are companions of fools. Now, we know that all the descendants of Adam are conceived in sin, but here the sinner is a person whose life is consistently categorized by patterns of wickedness and evil. The pathway of their lives is illustrated in the verses 11 to 19. They love injustice, violence, and greed. They delight to entice others to come and join them. They are tempters. These sinners are without wisdom. They do not know that while sin brings pleasure at first and sometimes profitable returns, the sting is in the tail. It seems good at first, but the unpleasant part comes at the end. In verse 18 it says, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. In verse 19, such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. To be wise is to know where a particular direction in life is likely to end. Proverbs 27 verse 12 says, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. How much of the suffering in your life is due, at least in part, to your own lack of wisdom? For people like you and me, likely more often than we care to admit, either to ourselves or to others, sinners reject wisdom. Next, in verse 22, we meet the simple. also companions of fools. Here the simple person is someone who is easily led, who is gullible, silly, naive, willful, irresponsible, unstable, aimless, and inexperienced. A simple person drifts into temptation. He or she prefers not to accept discipline when it's offered. How many of the patterns of thought, word, and behavior in your life demonstrates a drifting into temptation? You know, in those areas where you are particularly weak and vulnerable. How often do we refuse the loving discipline of the Lord and of fellow Christians? For people like you and me, likely more often than we care to admit, either to ourselves or to others. Simple reject wisdom. And then we also meet the scoffers here in verse 22, also companions of fools. The scoffer shares with others in this fool's gallery a dislike for correction. The scoffer is a deliberate troublemaker. Proverbs 21 verse 24, it says, scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. Not many, if any of us, would willingly be called a scoffer. But how often do people like you or me act with arrogant pride? Likely more often than we'd care to admit to, either to ourselves or to others. Scoffers reject wisdom. Fools and their companions, the sinners, the simple, the scoffers, are all traveling on the same path, the broad and easy way that leads to destruction. Why? Well, here is the wisdom of God. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Is there any hope for the sinner, the simple, and the scoffer, the fools? The book of Proverbs brings a clear answer. Yes. Yes, there is hope. The Lord God, personified in the wise woman who cries out in the street in verse 33, says, whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease, without dread of disaster. Which brings us to our third point. The wisdom of God is Christ. Most of us would have put the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle together at some stage or other, aided, of course, by the picture on the box. But have you ever done a was guy? A was guy is a jigsaw spelt backwards, where you can only see the picture of people looking at the subject of the jigsaw. It's much harder to do. The book of Proverbs has been described as being like a 1,000-piece puzzle with no picture to show us what the puzzle is supposed to look like. How then do we put so many different pieces together? We've seen that the foundational controlling principle of true wisdom is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've understood that fear here is not terror, not running away from God, but rather the exact opposite. We could say running toward God. We've seen that true wisdom is not about having great intellect or even mere accumulation of knowledge, but rather wisdom is fundamentally and foundationally having a right relationship with God, a relationship characterized by faith, hope, and love, the kind of fear of the Lord which Abraham was commended of having by the angel of God. How is such a relationship possible for people like you and me? People who have a natural built-in tendency to prefer the pathway of fools and sinners, the simple and scoffers. Well, only through faith in Christ. A faith that comes from hearing the word of Christ, as it says in Romans 10, verse 17. Well, you won't find Jesus Christ directly referred to by name in the book of Proverbs. But if we seek diligently, we will find that all the scripture concerns him. And Proverbs is no exception. Christ then is the key to unlocking the puzzle of the book of Proverbs. We know that as a child, Jesus was filled with wisdom. It says so in Luke 2 verse 40. And in his perfect humanity, Jesus was a wise son who heard his heavenly Father's instructions. Parents, have you ever left one of your children behind in the church building thinking that he or she had gone with someone else? Pastor David and his wife Jenny have more than once. Well, there is a biblical precedence, of course. Joseph and Mary left their 12-year-old son Jesus in Jerusalem. We read in Luke 2 verse 46 that after three days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. We see that Jesus was a learner. He listened to his teachers. And we know that as he grew, that he increased in wisdom, as it says in Luke 2 verse 52. If this was important for the perfect man, how much more for you and for me? The crowds later marveled at his wisdom. He repeatedly silenced the most learned with his wise answers. We know that Solomon was Israel's wisest king, and likely the wisest descendant of Adam ever to have lived. And yet Jesus said, "One greater than Solomon is here." We might stop here and arrive at the conclusion that Jesus is a good example of a wise life well lived. And there is certainly truth in that. But there is so much more. Jesus is himself the very wisdom of God in flesh. As the Apostle Paul said, puts it in Colossians 2 verse 3, "Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." If you would know wisdom, most certainly the book of Proverbs will be of help to you. But unless you know Christ, you remain a fool, a sinner, a simple one, an arrogant scoffer. This book of Proverbs, of comparisons, presents only two pathways for life: the way of the wise and foolish, righteous or wicked, living or the dead. There are two ways that are set before us today. The easy way that leads to destruction, and many travel this way in the company of fools, sinners, the simple and the scoffers. And then there's the hard way, which leads to life. Few travel this way, but those who do are wise. The road you travel in life, both now and forever, is determined by whether you will listen to the voice of God. When we listen to his perfect wisdom in reverent fear, in love, faith, and hope, trusting in Christ, then we can begin to think God's thoughts after him. We begin to be instructed by the perfectly wise one. We have the mind of Christ, as it says in 1 Corinthians 2:16. Our desires, which flow out from our thoughts, change more and more to love what God loves and to hate what he hates. What would you like to be engraved on your tombstone? "Here lies the body of a person whose life was well lived, a person who knew Christ, the wisdom of God." Amen.